Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. This is episode 309, recorded April 25th, 2013, on the catwalk. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com. Click the radio microphone up at the top and enter Windows. And by Rackspace, the open cloud company. At Rackspace, build what you want, where you want, and how you want. All backed by their world-renowned fanatical support. Try it today. Download the open cloud at rackspace.com/open. And by Directory Wizards. If you need directory synchronization, Directory Wizards has the solution. Unity Sync, offering a truly unified GAL to create a messaging forest, link seamlessly with HR databases, or build a backup forest to aid in disaster recovery. Visit derwiz.com/windows for an extended evaluation you could download, configure, and put into action today. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Windows. We exfoliate. No, that's the wrong word.
Well, we could, but that's unrelated to the...
extrapolate, exfoliate, and elucidate. And exponentiate. Paul Thurrott is here from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Great to have you, Mr. T, back in your home lair of Dedham, Massachusetts. Joining us from her home in New York City, Mary Jo Foley. Her home is the size of a postage stamp, so we probably should
it is.
Just say from her
that is literally all of it. Right there.
You're seeing
this
it all.
The entire place.
Yeah, the right kitchen here. Is on that shelf right there. Yeah,
it is.
New York, I love it. Anyway, good to have you both. It's been a nice week for Windows folks. We had Microsoft earnings. And despite the fact that everybody's been saying,
I know,
the PC market is dead. The PC market dropped lowest it's ever done in the history of quarterly reporting, 14%, and Microsoft makes some money on it. Huh?
Microsoft is up to some chicanery.
Shenanigans. You know? I call shenanigans.
We've talked about this a little bit. You know, the consistent 20 million units per month Windows licenses for 3.5 years or whatever that was.
Yeah.
It's a little suspicious.
This is record for them, record quarterly earnings.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, that's a big difference. Not earnings.
Revenues.
Yeah. Revenue.
Right.
Yep. Net income of $7.61 billion on revenues of $20.5 billion.
It's good to have a lot of billion-dollar businesses, right?
Yeah.
rely on other businesses.
You know, how can a business be bad if it's a billion-dollar business, really?
Right. But every time someone says, why doesn't Microsoft do, and then you can insert anything you want there.
Right.
Why doesn't Microsoft make a Google Reader alternative for Bing or whatever, you know, because Google Reader is not a billion-dollar business.
They're in the money business.
They're not a charity.
It's a profit thing. Yeah.
Yep.
But if there were shenanigans, it would be more like in the number of Windows units sold, things like that.
Yes.
Right?
And we know there must be some shenanigans because the number they released for Windows license sales was what?
Nothing.
Right.
Zero?
No, not zero.
They
didn't talk about it.
Oh, they didn't say.
Surprising. Now, the last number we have is 60 million, but we had
over 3 months. 20 million a month. They're a publicly held company, so there's some things they don't have to say because they don't break it out.
They literally probably don't have to say it, but I mean, I think there would be a shareholder call for this information, given that they release it so regularly. So I think it's safe to assume they will release a number sometime in the
next.
And
it will be 20 million a month.
I would be shocked if it wasn't. But, yeah. Maybe. Well, that's the thing. I mean, and I think that's where the all eyes thing is, right? If that number works out that the average number of licenses sold since Windows 8 launched is less than 20 million, I think that's the point where you you know, have everything you need to know about where that thing's going.
What do you predict?
Honestly, I would be shocked if it wasn't exactly 20 million meters, just based on the way it's going. You know,
19.78, something like that.
But well, you know what? No, I think if it had been that number, they would have announced that probably.
That's interesting. Okay.
So it's either below that or maybe it's higher than that, which would be odd, but maybe.
You don't hold on to the good news, though, do you?
Sometimes you do. Yeah. Sometimes you want to make another news event about you.
Separate thing.
Microsoft loves momentum, Leo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or as they call it, the big mo.
Well, I mean, you know, there's actually a lot of really good news in this Microsoft earnings report.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so
there is.
I see. So hold off. You might have some even good news on Windows sales. You'd hold off on that. But you don't want to hold off too long.
Personally, I would not have done that. But and there are obviously there are questions. You know, how well is Surface really doing? I mean, we've seen some interesting estimates there.
Nice little hobby.
It's a little bit more than a hobby, I think.
So what did he say? They said they had some phrase that they used about Surface sales. It was a good business. They were glad to be in it.
They said that, we don't anticipate that we're going to dominate PC sales, but it is a good, it's a business. I think the way I think it was Steve Ballmer said
business.
It. This is a business, not and suggesting not a hobby.
They're not doing it for fun.
Right.
There's a profit and loss. Yeah.
But you know, they did cite Surface when they were talking about the Windows division, because even though it's not Windows only, it's hardware, actually, it reports in through the Windows division. So they said our non-OEM revenue was up 40%, and they attributed that in a substantial part to the Surface. But we don't know how many Surfaces they sold, and that's a number we still haven't heard any momentum or milestones for.
There has been some speculation about maybe the Surface helped overcome what might have been otherwise soft Windows sales in the quarter. The notion being that once you take out that one-time recognition of what I think of as pre-sales, if you will, the sales of the very inexpensive Windows 8 upgrades that they offered for several months on a temporary basis that they finally applied to the figures for this quarter, Windows division revenues were actually flat year over year. And I have to say, that's actually still pretty impressive when you average the figures from Gartner and IDC. PC sales fell 12.5% in that quarter. For them to be able to do that suggests a couple of things. I mean, I think part of it might be they have a fairly regular revenue stream from enterprises that are essentially on subscription services and so forth. But part of it might be service sales. They probably artificially charge themselves more to sell, get Windows on Surface, so they can bolster their figures or something.
Oh yeah, so they would kind of break out the value of the Windows license on the Surface, even though they're not selling it, right?
Yeah, it's still a copy. It's a copy of Windows.
But yeah, the other divisions that did really well this quarter: server and tools, yet again, another killer quarter. See, all those enterprise users are buying a lot of SQL Server and System Center.
Putting them around the tree so when the kids wake up in the morning on Christmas.
Daddy, look what I got. Santa Claus brought me a server.
Service Pack 1, System Center 2012.
R2. Hooray.
No, they were up 11%. That's pretty darn impressive. Actually,
also impressive is, you know, Microsoft's biggest business, which is Office, right? You know, $6.32 billion in revenues for that quarter, bigger than Windows, bigger than server and tools as well. But, you know, I think they're all in the same ballpark. In a quarter in which they launched a new version of the product that in its own way is not quite as controversial as Windows 8, but is a little bit controversial because of the click to run stuff that people don't seem to understand yet. And this new version of Office 365. Which they actually spelled out as being their next billion-dollar business. And it's interesting, when you look at the business division, you've got Office, of course, the suite, SharePoint, which we know is a billion-dollar business, Office 365, and potentially Link. I mean, we might get to the point where every part of Office 365 is essentially a billion-dollar business. You know, it's
SharePoint's actually $2 billion already.
Wow.
SharePoint's one of the biggest businesses there.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
SharePoint Weekly, the next show on Twit.
No, right. I don't think so.
We call it SharePoint. SharePoint sequentially.
I don't think so. It's an idea, but no, maybe
Padre,
you know. I mean,
SJ would like.
Padre
that.
Will do it. Padre will do it. He does
Hadoop hourly.
Stuff. Hadoop hourly. Da 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 da. Hadoop hourly. And now this hour
in Hadoop.
In Hadoop. I like that. This hour in Hadoop.
It's the quickest podcast
ever.
This hour in Hadoop.
You know what, though? I kind of am still waiting for the day we hear Windows phone numbers. Something. I know they're still 3% of the entire market, but I just really would love to know how that business is doing.
You don't think they're the ones bolstering E&D these days?
I do not.
They're like the cornerstone of that
right.
business.
They report in through entertainment and devices, which is where Xbox is too. So you never really know, right?
Why is that? Do you think they put them there to hide them? I mean, it's such a weird way to organize it.
I know, kind of. If Microsoft ever has this legendary reorg, we always keep hearing rumors about. Yeah. Maybe they'll put phone under Windows. I don't know. It seems kind of odd to me. It's under E&D.
Makes no sense.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yep.
What's E&D?
Oh, entertainment and devices.
Mm. Oh, E&D.
E&D.
Do they call it E&D?
E&D.
E-A-N-D-D?
It's not like D&D or AD&D. There's no 20-sided dice.
Is it, it's an ampersand? E-ampersand D?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
And then Surface, which is a device they actually sell, is part of Windows.
Right.
So, right. You know, it's a very strange way of doing things, but.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
What other good news?
Online services is losing less money than ever, Leo. but we should be, we should be really clear about what that means. And actually, to be honest, that is actually pretty good news.
It is.
Well, it's been a big sink, right? This is Bing and MSN, yeah. I guess, and Live. Yeah.
Right.
Advertising.
Oh, advertising's not, in there too. Okay.
Right. So, i.e., not Office 365, not Windows Azure.
Right.
But to be honest, I don't remember the exact dates anymore. I looked at this when I wrote up the news story originally, but they've been on a fairly linear path
to
towards profitability since, I want to say, 2006 ish, somewhere around there, 2007 maybe. And if you look at their, if you were looking at it as sort of a bar chart, I'm not really much of an Excel.
That'd be a line graph.
It's lines going down, getting bigger, bigger, and then lines getting shorter. So it's a V, if you will.
I'm going to see if anybody's done that. An infographic chart on Microsoft's online business revenues.
I'm sure somebody, maybe Business Insider, did one.
Yeah, chart.
No, but seriously, we can kind of joke, they've lost less money than ever, which they have, and, cue the rim shot. But the truth is, they're actually well along the way toward crossing the line into profitability. It seems like that could happen.
The pit is being dug out.
Yeah. There, see?
They got down to almost $800 million in March 2011. But they're much better now.
Seriously. How hard is it to lose that much money, Leo?
I don't know, Maul. It's more than I'll ever see.
Give them a little credit.
In a lifetime. Almost a billion. I mean, I don't know.
If you turn that thing around, that would be one of the biggest companies on earth.
It's a negative $1 billion business. That's what we're building here. No, but you're right. I mean, if you look at the graph, the nadir was March 2011, and now we're about eight quarters. Yeah, well, we're eight quarters later, and it looks not bad. I mean, it's definitely improving each and every one of those quarters except for one. So.
You know what else is in this division that's worth, it's probably where they are losing most of that money or have in the past, is Global Foundation Services, which is all their data centers, the really gigantic ones that they run for Xbox Live and Hotmail and Office 365, like their own infrastructure investments are also the loss for those and the gains are reported.
There's good reason. It's an investment.
I was going to say, that's a great word to use because, I mean, we all kind of make fun of it, but. But it really is an investment, and this is the foundation for all of the stuff that you see going on in these other divisions, like Office, which has Office 365, Windows, which has Windows Azure, SQL Azure as well, and all that stuff. So, obviously this is the one blip in the business.
Here's an interesting number, though. The last time they made money in online was in 2005.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of money. See that little blue thing on the left there?
Yeah, yeah. Are you sure that's not a smudge on your screen?
Ooh, yeah. It's not been good. And what happened? Was that when Bing and everything happened? Or?
Oh, God. Back then, it was Windows Live Search and
right.
MSN, obviously. And
you could
and,
overlay, you know, back- and I suspect you could overlay Google, Google's profits on this, and it would be somewhat like the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, Microsoft lost out to Google, and I think it'd be interesting to see, like, when Microsoft, I'm sorry, when Google bought DoubleClick, whatever year that was, Microsoft had wanted to buy DoubleClick and lost out on DoubleClick, and I think they bought a Quantiv.
The $6 billion.
I think. I might be commingling some disrelated information, yeah. But you know, whoever they bought at the time, I remember right after Google got DoubleClick that Microsoft bought some also-ran that nobody had ever heard of and was, you know, really confused why they bought them. But, you know, Microsoft has certainly spent a lot of that time, at least that part of the Microsoft, trying to catch up to Google in the search space and not succeeding, I guess would be the way to say it. I mean, you know, it's just in raw numbers. Although, I actually, to be fair, I mean, you know, Bing is a pretty cool product. And
I think Bing is gaining some acceptance.
Yeah.
What was I using the other day? And it was an Apple product, I think. And all of a sudden, Bing was the default search.
My father-in-law, rather, actually used the phrase, I binged
wow
something, and I kind of looked at him like waiting for him to laugh, like I like saying something like I did that just for you.
I binged something.
No, but he was serious. Like he actually.
But did he mean online search? Maybe he was talking about something else.
Yes, he binged something. Okay. In other words, he. Okay.
Googled, I binged like, you.
What a normal person would say, Googled.
yeah. Wow.
I guess some people say that.
An abnormal person. Your father-in-law. Okay, good.
No, he's a, you know, he's a very normal person.
Too much trouble there. I think you're all right. Yeah. good. Well, you know, so that's a sign of improvement. I thought this was interesting. Now, is this from the Quarterly Report, or did you get this somewhere else? Android's patent licensing that Microsoft's doing to Android handsets,
yeah. No,
rumored to be as much as $5 a phone.
Well, that's right. So we do the math, right? We know how many Google devices are being activated every
1.5 million a day, according to Larry Page.
So there have been guesses about how much Microsoft makes per phone. I think those guesses are high, but whatever. If you do the math, we're getting to the point where, you know, Android is
a
good
business. You bet.
Yeah.
You could, even if it's $3 a phone, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking almost 5 million a day. That comes out to more than $1 billion.
Yeah. That's and if you look at who were the last two to sign up, they were pretty big. Foxconn was one and ZTE is the other.
And it's important. They're both in China.
Yeah.
Which I actually think is very relevant and I should say not coincidental, you know.
Yeah, on ZTE, the one thing we don't know is if they're actually paying Microsoft. Interestingly, Microsoft didn't put that in the press release, and when we asked, they said no comment. So it could be a patent exchange there instead of an actual revenue deal, but it's still, they're getting almost everybody. I mean, the holdouts, I think, are Motorola, obviously, and I don't know who the other, there's another one.
What are the patents people are licensing? What is that? Is that Linux?
Good question.
We don't know.
Well, it's Android. It's for Android.
Yeah, but I'm saying Android's running on Linux, and Microsoft has in the past asserted some patent.
Well, they've done the same for Android, so they've said Android is also infringing on it.
Right, and so I'm wondering if that's the particular part. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't. We don't know. It's
not revealed. It's unrevealed.
Also featured Chrome OS, which I believe was the first time that's come up in a patent license.
So then that means it might be Linux because both Chrome OS and Android are based on Linux kernel. So it might be Linux.
Yeah. There have been a couple OEMs and ODMs, which are original design manufacturers, that also licensed for Chrome. But, yeah, that does seem to be getting more popular now, too.
Yep.
Interesting. And the file system, somebody said. I don't know if this is true.
Yeah, I think that is true.
FAT32 really is a file system?
I think XFAT and FAT may be part of the whole bundle of patents that they licensed.
That's an interesting choice. You didn't have to use that on a phone. Huh. In fact, you wouldn't think
It's instantly compatible, though. Maybe it's one of those deals where you plug it into a PC and it just works.
Well, it is. That makes it an SSD. Yeah, that makes it a...
These are the file systems that work on a Mac, that work on a PC.
That's a good point. That's the most universal file system.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
There's no operating system that can't read it.
Yep.
I'm going to try to see if I can. I'll go ahead and do the show without me. I'm going to try to analyze this.
Very good. Tell us about the start button, please.
Yes. Okay. So the one other thing I thought was very interesting that a lot of people kind of just passed over in the earnings was, you know, at the end of every earnings report, Microsoft has a call like everyone does, and press and analysts come on the call. And when you listen to the wording of these calls, there's always very deliberate things that Microsoft says. It's not random when they drop little hints in these calls. So one of the things that Peter Klein said, who's the chief financial officer of Microsoft, he's actually outgoing chief financial officer. He's retiring. He said, looking ahead, we will release the next version of Windows, codename Windows Blue, which further advances the vision of Windows 8 as well as responds to customer feedback. It's that last part that's very interesting, because what are they talking about?
Has there been feedback about Windows 8? I don't recall any.
A couple people want the start button back. A couple people want boot to desktop, perhaps.
Can I just say, and I think this people have conflated start button with start menu.
There's no,
yes, they have.
The start button is not coming back. There never was a start button until Windows 8. There was a start menu.
Yeah, but
start button means going to the Windows 8 Metro interface. So it's, I think a lot of people, I think people are going to go, wait a minute, didn't they say they were bringing back the start menu? And people are going to say, no, it was the start button, which is like big effing deal. I got a start button. It's the Windows key.
No, but you know why people want this? No, I think there are business users who still want the familiarity of some kind of an anchor on their screen, right? Like, even if it takes you to the Metro style start screen, it's this little familiar element that makes Windows 8 less scary. I'm telling you, that's why they're going to do it. Yeah.
I can't tell you how scared I am of Windows 8.
So scary.
You look scared.
Yeah. There was a start button on the developer's preview of Windows Hellcat is telling me. So this is what they're coming back to. The good old days of Windows 8 Developer Edition.
I have to say, I haven't really considered this, but as Mary Jo was talking, I looked down at the corner of the desktop, and it is kind of a weird little area down there. It really does feel like they lopped off the start button. You know?
Yeah. It wasn't an appendix. Yeah.
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 It was sort of like a little tail on the Bat Child, and we just wanted to make it feel a little more normal.
But I think there are a lot of people who should know better in the trade press, among others, who are conflating start button and start menu. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you said that, I wanted to clarify it. And
And you're right. So, but here's the problem. Bringing the start button back is a good idea, I think, because it's going to answer those complaints, or some of those complaints, especially from businesses. Boot to desktop is the same thing. I mean, I've been sort of wrestling with even just writing an article about empathy lately, because when I look at my own blog comments, it's amazing to me how people kind of lash out at each other. And so the people who like that Windows 8 is this kind of sharp drop off and a different thing and don't want it to be compromised by these legacy UIs, or sort of riding people who, you know, want the legacy UIs back. And it's like, why are you so stupid? How come you don't understand this? And, you know, it's cute when power users can understand how everything works immediately, but you know, I think the one thing we all have to remember, just as people who, you know, review products or whatever, or just deal with other people in general, is that not everyone has the same needs or aptitude about this kind of thing. And those things can be reassuring. But unfortunately, I think when you take these mini steps like that, what you're going to hear is, okay, so start button back. Thank you. I like that. I click it and it goes to this full screen thing. How come I don't have a menu?
That's what I think.
And I think that's going to be a problem. You know, I think you've gone and done a half step, and that people are going to expect the next step.
We understand, or maybe we don't, but we seem to understand the difference between a button and a menu. But I think when people hear, we're bringing back the start button.
Yeah.
First of all, because there's no back. They're never, I mean, the start button is not what you have in Windows 7. You have a start menu.
Well, there's a start button, too. I mean, there's a button.
Well, you click the button, and then you get a menu.
Yeah.
You know,
call it a menu.
I know this sounds crazy, but when business users don't love change, and when you're talking about just even taking away something that's a visual cue, You're talking about retraining, and this is what they want to avoid. That, like, the user sees this thing, and they're like, where's the start button?
But if, like, they leave if the start screen, I mean, doesn't it still have the same problem?
No. I don't know. I think that's why they're doing it.
Could there be an animation where the start screen appears to come up out of that corner?
That's not going to...
You know what I mean?
I can see Microsoft doing that, but it's not going to make people happy.
Yeah. I actually, you know, and like
halfway, that's not going to work.
So somebody, Shane in the chat room is saying the problem is that average people aren't thinking of hitting the Windows key.
Yep, they don't.
So they can't figure out, how do I get back to that menu? Okay, if that's the case, if that's where the disconnect is happening, then a start button will make sense.
Yep.
Well, the other thing, I don't have, Leo, Barry Joe, do you have Windows 7 on your machine?
Yep, I do.
So if you hit the start button on your keyboard right now.
Right.
And then you hit escape, does the start menu go away?
Yep.
Okay. So if you hit the start button on Windows 8 and you hit escape,
Nothing
happens.
Nothing.
Well, actually, hold on. I'm sorry. Actually, I did go back to
what
the
do
desktop.
You get? Did you go back to the desktop?
Yeah, I did. All right.
You did? Really?
Yeah. Is it not working for you?
Well, I've screwed my machine up. I put Start 8 on there, and I don't actually have a Start. I have a Start menu.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. Actually, no, that works.
I fixed it.
I don't know how to use Windows.
I took it in my own little hands.
You know, I've been getting a ton of mail about this whole Start button thing from all different kinds of people. But I got last week I read a message from a guy who said it's just too complicated. This week I got an email from a guy who works in a major retail outlet, and he said, you know what we have now? We have copies of Start 8 and Modern Mix. And when somebody buys Windows 8, we go, hey, how does this look? You think you can do it? You want to buy this too, because you might need this.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is where we're at with this, you know?
That's, by the way, what I recommend on the radio show.
See? There, look at that.
For $10, you can make it Windows 7 again. and I have to admit, remember, I really did. And I ended up putting Start 8 on here. Modern Mix, maybe yes or no, but Start 8 is for $5. And I know there's free ones, Classic Shell and others. But
people get very burned when you don't mention those, Leo. So
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
for some reason.
I've had odd results with Classic Shell, that's all. And so... Sure. Start 8. But yeah, $5. I feel like $5 is worth it. But because it's a commercial product, it'll be supported. And Starduck's been around a long time. They're a good company. And blah, 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 blah. But that makes sense. If there's no, you don't know to hit the Windows key. But that's not the, okay. But that's not the only mystery command. I mean, the charms are a mystery command as well. If you think Windows is hard, Windows C is even harder.
Yep.
I think it's nice that they turned it into a video game, you know, where they're... little hidden things that, you know, 7 months into using it, you're like, wow, look at this. There's like a menu here. Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. That's where settings are. That's how you shut it off.
That's amazing. No wonder. Yeah, no wonder I couldn't make
this thing
look
like. And by the way, the charm bar has a start. That's because I have Start 8 on it. That's how I get to this. So that's interesting. So in Start 8, they put a start button in the charms bar.
No, that's there.
That is there. Okay.
Yep.
I don't remember it from being. So there's another start button.
Start buttons everywhere, Leo.
They're everywhere.
Where they want it is in the taskbar.
On the tablets, they're on a Windows icon on the bezel.
Yep. But is it on the taskbar, Leo?
No. That's where I want it. I want it on the taskbar. All right. Well, we'll see. This is again. This may change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't know if this is going to happen.
This is putatively, although that comment in the analyst call kind of indicates that maybe that's coming with Windows.
I think so.
Yeah. I think that pretty much confirms it.
I think it was Mary Jo and I think it was Mary Jo rather, when this morning had a small conversation about the possibility of yet another leaked build of Blue and whether Microsoft is in some ways almost allowing this to happen, if you will, just to get early feedback.
Right.
This didn't come up in the conversation. But you have to wonder that they sort of dismantled their traditional beta testing infrastructure 6 years ago or whatever.
Really?
Why? Yeah, they don't beta test products the way they used to.
Oh, they do the public betas, which I think is better, isn't it?
Right.
But they don't really do much with the feedback, even though they say they do.
Right.
Well, the product's kind of done from a user experience.
By that time, it's cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this way you kind of throw stuff out, and then you can see people react, you know?
Yeah.
And there's some good stuff in those leaked builds, obviously, but the boot to desktop's not in there. The start button on the taskbar is not in there. And... you have to think they're sort of nervously watching the feedback mm-hmm. this time, because people yeah. really are excitable over this stuff.
They are. Yeah, the first article I did on the start button possibly coming back has over 600 comments on it.
Wow.
And every day there's just so much mail that comes in with people split between, oh man, this will be so awesome if this comes back, and I hate this. I don't need yep. it. I don't want
to. There is no middle ground. It is either, yep. I don't understand why you idiots don't know how to use this thing already, and thank God they're bringing this back. I would never use Windows 8 otherwise.
I hear both. Yep. I do all the time.
Yeah, but there's nothing. There's never anyone in the middle of those two.
Well, those guys in the middle, they're not reading Mary Jo's column.
Okay, but it's interesting. I mean,
they're out there watching the races, the submarine races. They're not. I don't know what is this. I don't. I'm just give me a computer and I'll use it.
I think I'm the person who's the most in the middle that I know on this, because
really
I don't
are.
Really care. I don't care if they bring back the start button, but I do want them to do boot to desktop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both would be nice. Actually, I don't care about the start button. I think that doesn't yeah. do that much. I think a start yeah. menu and boot to desktop would make people very happy. And that's what I've got with Start 8.
So I will never click on the start button. That doesn't help me. I use the keyboard, so whatever.
And we should make the point that this is likely not going to be the default. This will just be an option.
Right.
I can't imagine there's no way Microsoft would make this the default. Yeah. The default will be
But they're doing what they should have done in the beginning, which is
just
simply
give us
make
an option.
It available.
Yes.
Exactly. Allow us to go back to the old thing as much as possible.
Why not? I mean, what I don't understand is, even if it's 20% of your users, mm-hmm. why would you ignore them? Why don't you just give them what they want? What's the problem?
Because you hate those people, Leo.
I mean, the burning passion. I think there is a little bit of a mistaken shift in how companies consider their in the tech industry consider their customers. There's a lot more, and Apple started this and made it okay. Paternalism, where yeah. We know what's best, and we're going to do it this way, and you'll get used to it, is not the right answer. The right answer is whatever you want. This is your software. We're making it for you. It's like Burger King saying no.
Yeah.
You have to have ketchup.
You can have it, yeah. It's like the Ford. You can have it any color as long as it's black.
That's there was a good industrial reason for that. It's software. There's no industrial reason.
Yeah, you know, it is magical, as Bill Gates is always saying. You know, Apple had a pretty small business there for a long time, and they could push changes on people and
exactly.
nobody complained. You know, Windows is a little different, and that's what makes this decision to not provide legacy UIs in Windows 8 so strange, because they have so many customers and such a diverse customer base, different ranges of expertise and so forth. And to not provide any way to go back, it was such a crazy decision. It really alienated a lot of people. And I think that's the important part of it and the reason why they're finally changing.
Yeah. And maybe, my opinion, too little too late. Hey, we're going to take a break, come back with more. We're number three. It's the next topic.
USA.
We're number three. And I actually have a question about that number two, because we're number three.
As you should. Anyone viewing the story should have nothing but questions.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you say so. This is brought to you today by our friends at Citrix. They do so many great products. It's, you know, Citrix is one advertiser on the network, but I have like half a dozen products, and it's great because we can bring you a variety of different things to talk about. And this one is one that maybe you haven't heard of before. Everybody knows about GoToMyPC, GoToMeeting, GoToAssist. ShareFile is relatively new for Citrix, and it does something that maybe you hadn't really thought about, except if you are in business, you probably are running up against this issue of how do you share files. And a lot of businesses are setting up FTP sites, or they're attaching. The worst thing you do, attach it to email. That's a bad way to share files because, for a number of reasons. I've said for years, don't open attachments because that is a great way to get infected by viruses. People often say, well, we're in business. How do we, if I can't send attachments, how am I going to send the presentation or the drawings or the spec or the invoice to somebody? There's a better way. It's called ShareFile, and it isn't an email attachment. Although if you use Outlook, it's going to look just like that because they have a nice Outlook plugin. But what you're actually sending is a secure link to secure storage in the cloud, their storage. And it is customized for over 30 industries. And the reason they do that is because different industries have different requirements. The medical industry, thanks to HIPAA, for instance, it is illegal to email a patient record. It is illegal because it's not secure. In the legal industry, I see all the time these emails, if you got this at error, destroy it immediately. Well, that's not going to work. What are you talking about? You're a lawyer. You ought to know better. That's not legally binding. You ought to use ShareFile for everything. Anytime you're sharing a document with a client or customer, a prospective customer, a colleague, whatever your industry, ShareFile is a great way to do it. You control the document entirely. You say who can open it, when. You can say how many times they can download it. You can say for how long. It's super easy for you, super easy for them, too. They don't need to. You know, maybe you're using another service where they need to sign up for the service in order to get your file. That isn't going to work. You can't make people, customers, jump through hoops like that. You got to try this. 30 days free, ShareFile.com. Use our offer code Windows. Now, there's a big, giant green button that says start your free trial. That's not the one I want you to click. At the top, it says that radio listeners click here. That's us. There's a green microphone. Please click that. And then when it says, what is your offer code? Make sure you put in the word Windows. And you are going to want to try this. I'm telling you, files are secure. You can have shared folders for collaboration. I use it literally now. This is the way I share files with everybody. You don't have to worry about bounce backs and things like that. ShareFile.com. Give it a try. 30 days free. Oh, did I mention you also have cloud access to all your files on the tablet, on the smartphone? That's really nice, too. ShareFile.com. Please click that microphone on the top. And use the offer code Windows. Mary Jo Foley, Leo Laporte, and some guy named Paul. Oh, there it is. It says it on the screen. Paul Thurrott, a Windows super site, the super site for Windows. He is the major dobo there. Also a writer of many, many books, including the Windows Phone Book, which is online, windowsphonebook.com. Or is that going to be in a printed version at any point, or...?
Windows Phone Book is going to be free, and it will be available in various electronic formats.
You a nice guy.
But you can, including the Kindle. But, I don't see any reason why people couldn't utilize one of those, you know, electronic printing services. I'm going to
make it a
that.
Book. Well, yeah, you could use Lulu.com does it.
Yeah.
Amazon has Create Space. But you want to give it away, which is great.
But the point of it, though, is to keep it up to date. So as things happen, apps get updated, you know, the book will always be up to date. So you could print it, but that's sort of
Would you say obvious. This is an experiment for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, future books I'd like to charge for hugely exorbitant rates.
First, let's see if people will take it for free.
Yeah. It's like crack.
I think you're super smart. And people like Cory Doctorow, who have been doing this for years, say it's the best. And Paul Coelho, look at that. I mean, the guy couldn't sell his book, The Alchemist, so he gave it away. He put it on file sharing services, and then it became a bestseller, and now he's a multimillionaire. And
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm never going to become a millionaire on this, but no, I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Trying to get
Mary Jo back into book writing.
Oh,
get
Mary
Jo on an Xbox.
Oh, never going to happen.
We have lots of goals.
I could tell Mary Jo is a smart person. There's no way. No way she's falling for that.
Nope. Sorry, guys.
Having written a few books myself, not anywhere near the number, Paul. How many do you have a count? Do you have a number?
25 or so.
25 books.
Man.
That's what I call a masochist.
I've made about $1 a book, so it's really been working out great. You know,
yep.
It's a good use of my time.
It's about the hardest work, short of roofing or laying asphalt.
Like ice truck driving or crab catching in Alaska.
Yeah.
It's right up there.
Yeah, I think you're right there with the toughest catch or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They should do a reality show.
A
tech
big
book writers. Again,
today.
Paul and Gabe learned that Microsoft was changing the look of every dialogue box. Suddenly, they had 24 hours to create new screenshots all throughout the book. Oh, that is exciting.
Somebody in an airport walked by me one time and I was typing actually the book.
That's furious.
Wow, you really type fast. And I said, I did.
You stopped me. That's good. I'm telling you, reality show, that's a moment right there.
Yep.
And then she could go off in a room. She could say,
"That's a commercial."
I can't believe you said that
to her.
Oh my God,
he's a psychotic maniac.
We're number three.
Well,
numbers.
The understanding that you could find statistics that prove anything, Leo. Yeah.
So this is where I read this article. In fact, somebody sent me an email saying, hey, Mr. Windows hater, look at this. Strategy Analytics published a report saying that the iPad had 48% of sales and falling. This is globally. Android 43% and rising. But, oh my, Windows tablets, 7.5% market share.
You know, it's like a phoenix from the ashes.
And I almost, actually it was a tweet, and I almost responded to his tweet, yeah. And I thought, well, let me ask Paul what he, and Mary Jo what they think. First of all, it's shipping, right?
Well, so
it's not sell-through, it's shipping. I noticed that right off the top.
Yeah.
Okay. People will ask questions like that. And I guess what I would say is, assuming that the data point is identical for all of the devices in question, that almost doesn't matter. But okay, fair enough. It appears to be only including actual tablets, not hybrid PCs. So one might also argue that, you know, Windows 8 is selling on these other devices,
like the
too,
Yoga, so. For instance, or something like that.
Yeah,
and that's really a big, much bigger market, I would guess.
I guess Mary Jo asked the question, you know, who are these people and what are they counting? You know, I've used this company before for information. I recognize the name. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see a.
They're in Boston. No wonder.
Oh, it's one of them Southie things.
Dedham-based Paul Thurrott Strategic Analytics. I mean, every once in a while I'll see some data point and you go and look up the company and it's like Kumatra.com, you know, and it's like, who the hell are these guys, you know, or whatever. I mean, these people, at least I recognize them. They're not IDC or Gartner, but, you know, there are lots of companies that we sort of look to for information, you know, net market share and so forth. So, I mean, I think they fall into that kind of category. I just think it's interesting that somebody could look at these numbers and come up with anything higher than zero for Windows. So
that's pretty low.
It's interesting.
Really that low?
You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. When you look at the data.
Do we even know if Surface is in this?
Well, that's the problem. Like, they don't. Maybe if you bought
Surface
the report.
Pro. Yeah, like, is Surface Pro in here? Because Microsoft's more and more kind of positioning this as a PC, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So is
it's
it
sold as a standalone tablet. I mean, arguably. Right. On that note, you could say, yeah, it should be. This is a big problem. I wrote an article a couple of years ago, maybe more than a couple now, where I think it was the title of it was something like, you know, Understanding the iPad or What is the iPad or something like that. And a lot of people sort of derisively, you know, wrote something like, oh, a year later, you still have no idea what you're talking about. You know, and it's like, no, you don't understand. I'm trying to put this thing in the context of the other devices that are occurring, because at some point, like when the iPad first came out, you really couldn't make a good argument that it was like a direct PC competitor. But the way things have evolved, obviously it is. Now that the PC market is literally churning out iPad ripoffs all over the place, obviously it is. And so you got to draw the line, though, because some people could do the same thing with a smartphone or a tablet or a tablet or a computer. But I can't make a huge case that people would do the same thing, you know, would choose a smartphone over a computer like that. I don't actually think those things are directly comparable, even though people may use them in some kind of a companion scenario. So, I don't know. Understanding what these devices are and how they relate to each other is, in fact, important. And, you know, this is just one slice of data. There'll be other companies like Chiquita that, you know, measures these things and has completely different data. And there'll be other companies down the road as well who will come out with different information. And we'll evaluate it and we'll laugh as IDC and Gartner make their predictions for 2017, which are always hilarious. And, you know, all I can do is say, this is, you know, here's some information that came out this week. We'll see how things look.
So do you think the number's high, low, or just we don't know what it represents?
The reason I looked at it is because it was higher than I thought it would be.
Right. But we don't know what it represents.
In the fourth quarter of 2012, their figure for Windows was zero, yep. Right? In the launch quarter for Windows 8. And I believe the other category was 4% or something. I mean, it was higher, you know. Or 3%, or whatever.
Other did better than Windows.
Other beat Windows, yeah. So, and I remember joking at the time, you know, that the next goal for Windows is for us to beat Other, you know, and then we'll look at.
Well, but assuming that their methodology is unchanged, this would be an increase,
which is why.
But we don't know because they don't. I guess if you bought the report, maybe you'd know. But these things cost hundreds of dollars. I'm not buying it.
just to find
that. Well, like a Windows tablet, Leo, would be insane to buy this thing.
Xbox, we're going to do live coverage. The reveal is...
Hold on one second.
There's more to say. Oh, Surface Expanded Availability announced. Yeah. Let's do that. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so that this is good news because Microsoft at the end of February said, you know what, we're going to have the Surface Pro and Surface RT in more countries sometime soon. And so months went by and we kept asking, you know, when's it coming to Europe? And we couldn't get any answers. Yeah. So it's so right now, Surface Pro is available in the U.S., Canada, and China, and that's it. But at the end of May, it's going to a lot more countries, Austria, Denmark, Belgium. There's just a long list. And Surface RT also going to a lot more countries. Then by June, even more countries for both of them. So this is good because it means they seem to have solved their supply chain issues, especially with the 128 gig Surface Pro, which nobody could get for a while. So here they come. Let's see if people have waited for all these months since the launch in beginning of February. I think a lot of people have waited because people seem very curious when this was going to launch in their country. The one thing to me that's very interesting is supposedly now Haswell is being supplied, the Intel Haswell chip being supplied to people. And this Surface Pro, as far as we know, is just the same one that currently exists. It's not the Haswell-based one. So people who are in the market for this now have to decide, might Microsoft come out with a Haswell-based Surface Pro sometime relatively soon? And is it worth waiting even longer? Or are you just going to go get the Surface Pro with the Core i5 in it?
On that note, maybe we should discuss that possibility. You know, yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think, Paul, you were the one who reported that Microsoft is supposedly working on an 8-inch Surface, right?
Yeah, but I see that as an additional Surface, not something
that's that a, yeah, me too. Additional existing. Surface. Yeah. Yep. So we don't know if they're going to do an extension of the line with new processors. They've never said they are. They haven't said they aren't.
Right.
I don't know. We just don't really know how they're going to expand Surface. We know they're going to add more Surface peripherals, probably, like the rumored keyboard with the battery. That still persists as a rumor, right? Didn't you even have a new rumor on that this week?
Yeah, we got that coming up later, so we'll jump to that later. But yeah, I mean, you know, people are asking a lot about this. You know, there's a Core i5 processor, Ivy Bridge. You know, 4 to 5 hours of battery life, not awesome. Will there be a Haswell version? And if so, does that replace the one in market? There's a part of me that actually believes that Microsoft would never release something and then just replace it months later. That their intention with this device was to leave it in the market for a while and recoup the costs of making that device. You know, that, you know, I don't know a lot about hardware manufacturing, but it seems like you go to the effort to make something like that, you intend to keep it in the market.
Well, it depends, though. If you could just upgrade the chip, like a slipstream upgrade, you might do that.
Mm. Well, but one of the benefits of the Haswell chipset would be a thinner, lighter device.
You need to redesign
device.
Haswell. Yeah.
So you're really going to be redesigning again.
And
you get into weird stuff where people have made peripherals and maybe they sometimes rely on the exact dimensions of the device. And if you get too far off, you know, those things don't work
anymore. That never stops Apple. They just surprise everybody. You know, that doesn't work anymore.
That's true. But, you know, the one benefit that Apple has is that when they release an iPad, for example, they sell tens of millions of copies of that thing. It's a big market there.
It's worth the pain.
This is a tough thing to do to a new product. You know, those the Zune protective cases for the brown Zune are not selling well these days. You know? And, you know, you can't just leave that stuff sitting out there. So it makes me wonder, and I know nothing. I mean, I want to be clear, this is speculation. I don't have any inside information, but it does make me wonder if the minimum amount of time that this thing should be in the market for that to kind of work through would be a year, maybe. And that if they were to release a Haswell device or whatever it is.
Would it have been? 6 months?
Well, it just came out in February.
Not even six.
It's really, it hasn't been that much time.
I mean,
the RT came out in October. You could make a case for like an RT2 device or whatever. Right. I would be ecstatic to have a version of the Surface that, you know, was maybe a Haswell, whatever chipset running Intel hardware in the Surface RT case.
Right.
That would be amazing. You know, and especially if the battery life was better too, and flying a flying car would be good. And teleportation,
Will that flying car have a Haswell chip in it?
And yeah.
All right. Well, we'll watch with great interest. What else we'll be watching? Well, May 21st at 10 a.m. we'll be finding out what the next Xbox is going to be.
Yeah.
Is that version next? Is that a real name or is it just what you use as a kind of a code name, Paul?
That's what we use.
Yeah. Not, and 720's right out.
720's never going to be the name.
Never going to happen.
I will eat my hat.
How about the Xbox 361?
That is ridiculous.
362.
You know, it's too bad. If Windows 8 had taken off in the market, I'm sure there would have been some crazy push for it to be called Xbox 8 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Now, maybe not so much.
The Vegas odds are on just Xbox.
Yeah, why not? Xbox or Xbox 360?
Xbox.
I like that.
You know, like the iPad is iPad.
Yeah, Xbox. So May 21st, it's from Redmond. We will broadcast the stream if they allow us to. I suspect they will. And if not, we'll be doing the rehash. Maybe we'll have puppets, maybe not. If Balmer's involved, we definitely want a Balmer puppet.
Right.
We had a Tim Cook puppet, so I think it's only fair.
Sure.
But Balmer probably wouldn't be involved in something like this. I remember going up to... Seattle for the first Xbox launch.
But that was Gates, wasn't it? Wasn't Gates involved?
Maybe Bill showed up a little bit, but it was really a different division, and it was at the entertainment, and it was glitzy. It was Robbie.
Robbie it was Bar- marbles was... in the mouth. Robbie Bark.
But it was a show. It was at the Experience Music Project. It was a big show.
Sure.
Because it's an entertainment device. I think it's... In fact, I'm surprised it's in Redmond. I think this should be in Hollywood. The 720...
This isn't really the launch, though, right? This is just...
It's just the reveal.
Yeah.
This is going to be like a magic show.
Oh,
this is going
to
be a puff of smoke, and then...
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should rise from below the stage on a pillar, on a column.
Yeah.
Ta, 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 pa-pum. Pum, 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 pum. And then somebody could hit it with a bone.
That could happen.
Some chimpanzees. What do you expect? What will we see? First of all, I guess a big question, compatibility.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. I don't have any answers on that stuff. I mean, you know, there's a lot of speculation, certainly. I mean,
more than one. Beatmaster says, how about more than one devices?
No.
No? There won't be a... They have multiple SKUs now. They have the $99 month. No.
Well, no. Right. There'll be a different version based on pricing.
But you don't see an entertainment device versus a gaming device versus
no. According to my sources, that was in the plan, and they canceled it for this year. Mm-hmm. So just a video game machine.
Electronic Arts on the record says it will not work with existing games. They have to start over.
Okay. So I there was some speculation about that. Obviously, it's going to be a different chipset than the current Xbox. Every time you change a chipset, you know, be able to play previous games.
Right.
We know that they're going to keep the 360 in the market. There'll be a new version of that. And then you can speculate from there about why that is. And so one of the reasons would be you have a cheap internet-connected entertainment device that you could leave in the living room that's not as expensive as a new Xbox. Or it could be for backwards compatibility. Because if the new Xbox doesn't play games from the 360, you have this cheap alternative. So
it has to be x86, right? Because the current one has multiple power PC chips, and I don't think you could put... You're not going to... Yeah, no.
No.
And the, just like the PS4, it can't be a cell.
Are you suggesting it's not going to be an ARM chip, Liam?
Ooh. No, it's plugged into the wall.
Sure.
It's going to be Intel. Well, it's going to be.
Although rumors are AMD, right?
Or AMD. AMD's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't the PS4 AMD? Yeah, AMD's fine.
Someone's going to use AMD.
Somebody got to use
them. Right.
But it's still x86.
Yeah.
And why would it be x86? It's based on Windows 8.
It's Windows. Yeah. Ah, it's Windows 8.
But that leads you to some further speculation, or me, I should say, to some further speculation about why or what that might mean. You know, will there be a developer, like a... Will it be literally Windows or a runtime, or will it be like the Windows Xbox runtime? You know, like kind of like phone is a little bit different from Windows. Will they allow enthusiasts or individual developers to write apps that run on this platform, which would be amazing?
Right.
We don't know. And so there's a reveal coming. There's a more formal launch with more information at E3 in the beginning of June. I think June 9th or somewhere thereabouts. And then, of course, Build, which is the developer show, which has an Xbox logo on it for the first time ever.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah, so that happens end of September, 25th-ish, around then, I think.
No. Build is end of June.
What did I say?
Yeah. September.
I said September.
It's okay.
Well, I just throw out words that sound like they make sentences. But, sorry.
These things happen.
I'm trying to stay awake for the Xbox segment. Come on.
Oh, good job, thanks. Mary Jo. Really on the ball.
It's based on Windows 8, Mary Jo. You'll love it.
I do. you know what? That to me is the most interesting part because I don't know if you guys remember this, but Dave Cutler is working on the Xbox team.
Dave Cutler, Windows NT, Dave Cutler? Right.
Yeah, yep. That guy.
Wow.
That guy.
Which may explain the whole Windows part of it.
Interesting. But it makes sense that Microsoft would want to unify the platform, right?
I really like the idea of the Windows base just for the API/app compatibility.
Developers love it. Developers know how to do it. Yep. And isn't the PlayStation 4 going to be x86? And presumably it'll be easy.
But the big advantage on the Microsoft side, Leo, potentially, again, this is all just speculation, but there's been a lot of talk around the death of PC gaming and all that kind of stuff. It would be very, very interesting if you could create one game that would work on both platforms. You could pick up a controller on your Windows computer and it would be the same game. Yep. You could compete together in multiplayer tournaments. You could play together otherwise, whatever the situation is. Kind of mix and match. I mean, that introduces some really interesting possibilities where they tried to do that in the past with the 360. It's hard because those platforms are completely different.
Yeah.
So, again, we'll see. I really don't know anything about their plans for the dev platform, but hopefully they do the right thing there.
Yeah. I would think a dev kit by Build for the Xbox. No? It seems like that would be the right timing, right?
Yeah, the developer
Hopefully
edition.
What they do is they just put out a Visual Studio Express edition for Xbox. Yep. That would be the most amazing thing.
It would.
It would really jumpstart interest in WinRT in general, I bet. I just think that would be really exciting. So hopefully they do it. I don't want to set this up like this is happening.
No,
I really
don't know. Well, the other logo that's on the Build invite is Visual Studio, obviously. So, it would make sense that all these pieces might start at least having a common story by Build, right? Phone, Xbox, and Windows 8, all of them.
By the way, not to mention all the other weird stuff you could do as a Windows box. This thing could join a home group in your house. It'd be really easy to share media back and forth, a lot of interesting possibilities. Mary Jo could get an Xbox and she could use Skype on the
That's
Xbox.
That's interesting.
This weekly.
Wow.
Christmas presents.
This is crazy talk now.
Actually, that's not a bad idea, though. If you had a powerful enough Xbox, it might be a great Skype box.
Right?
Yeah, they've said Skype will be part of Xbox, right?
Oh, sure,
that's not even a guess, right? Yeah.
Should be. Makes sense.
So, again, it's so often the case. Lots of questions still, but at least now we have a schedule. We know when it's happening. I will say, early in the year, I'd said that because it was happening that the original reveal was supposed to be on April 24th, and then they changed the date to May 21st.
And you had that first, I believe.
But the interesting thing is they officially announced the May 21st date on April 24th.
Oh, that's funny. There you go.
I have to think that was not coincidental because that was
We were planning something then.
Yeah.
And it was the announcement.
That was the original reveal. It's funny. It's just a funny coincidence.
Reveal the reveal. Maybe there's going to be a series of reveals.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our show today brought to you by our friends I'd like to reveal right now at Rackspace.com. They are partners. In fact, they were founding partners in the OpenStack. And they'd like to remind you that if you are looking to go into the cloud, as many businesses are, whether it's for SaaS hosting, software as a service, to stream rich media, to host your website, a database, that you should always consider open first. You don't want lock-in. Open means you can move your data if you want to leave. You don't have a big, lock-in, a big proprietary blob that only one company can handle. Rackspace is the open cloud company that co-founded OpenStack, and they now run the world's largest open cloud.
That means you're not locked into a single provider. You get Rackspace's world-renowned fanatical support. They know you're going to be a happy Rackspace user, but you do have the freedom to move your apps, your code, your websites between multiple OpenStack-based clouds with multiple providers, public or private, on-premise or hosted. You're not trapped. And, of course, you're using software that is constantly being improved. It's kind of the industry leader. I love it. Build what you want, where you want, how you want it, all by backed by Rackspace's world-renowned fanatical support. I want you to try it today. Visit rackspace.com/open. You can download the Open Cloud free right now. They're happy to have you do it. Rackspace.com/open. You can go managed. You can do it yourself. You can host it on-premise if you want. Rackspace.com/open. We're glad to have them and their support for Windows Weekly. I like this. That you. This might be a new segment on the show. I like this idea. Rumors. The rumor segment. We kind of do that on Mac Break Weekly because it's just, it's you know, in the Mac's world, it's all rumors.
Oh, I normally don't like to get into this kind
and
of stuff.
And I don't either, you know, because they're...
I'm a little nervous about this because here's what's going to happen.
But people love them.
CNET or someone is going to be like, Paul Thurrott said on Windows Weekly that blah, blah, blah.
All right. Hey, don't put that on CNET.
Or, or whoever. I mean, I'm just...
Draw a big box around the window right now, ladies and gentlemen, and say what you're about to hear may surprise you.
I've heard these from a source. I'm not sure about any of these.
They may not be credible. Well, why don't we... Okay, so Mary and Joe and I will be the panel.
Okay, like a percentage of possibility.
You could say a true rumor and a false rumor, and we'll pick
thumbs up, thumbs down.
We can pick the true rumor. I don't know. Go ahead, give us one.
Well, for example, one thing that's not on this list that I've heard from a couple people now is a Nokia phablet, right?
Oh yeah, that keeps coming up.
The problem with that kind of rumor. In fact, let me look at almost any one of these rumors. You could say. These things are not hard to imagine. Thus, it wouldn't be hard for someone just to make this up and say, logically speaking, this year, Nokia will probably make a bigger phone. You know,
that's not even a rumor.
It's a supposition. Yeah. You know, that said, I have actually had sources tell me that Nokia is working on a phablet. So, you know, will that
working,
happen?
And as we've learned in the Mac world, working on doesn't mean delivering either. Every company is presumably trying a bunch of different prototypes.
You're giving this way too much credit, Leo. I think
it's fairly safe to say that somebody somewhere at Nokia has an 8-inch phablet or a 6-inch phablet or whatever. I would.
A mock-up, right? A mock-up of some kind.
I would. Okay. Yeah, okay. Let's see what happens when you put Windows Phone 8 on a 7 or a 6 or 5-inch screen. What happens? What's the biggest screen now? It's 5, right?
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest screen now is, what is the 920, like a 4.7 screen?
Mm-hmm. See, I love the Galaxy Note 2. That's 5.5. That's just a little step up. And there's the Note 8 out now. I mean, I just can only...
It's a 6-inch Note coming.
Right. Mm-hmm. Although we know that Nokia just sprays. They just have a chart that says, what size don't we have? Oh, let's do that one then.
I think they line up their phones and they make a line and then they just do the next one up.
Right. You know? But that's a company that says, well, we'll give you whatever size you want. How much bacon do you want? A pound, pound and a half, 2 pounds, whatever you want.
Sure. I have a 620, which is a really small phone. It is funny. I don't know how well it is in the camera. Like, the difference in size between these devices.
So Commander Fish in the chat room.
It's a trap.
Says that it's 4.5 inches.
The 920. Is.
920.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about 4.5 inches.
Now we have a date on a Nokia event, right?
Oh,
May 14th.
That's right.
Now, they're inviting everybody to London.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, me too. Love I just London. Got an invite. Did I can go.
Did you? I did not get an invite, which I'm very upset about. But going to London
in the mail. I'm sure.
3 weeks would be a kind of a tough
one. It's just over the pond, though. It's just for you. It's a hop, skip, and a jump.
I'll just hide that one in my expense report and see how that goes.
And, you know, so what the invite does say is that it's a part of the Lumia line. And right now Lumia means phone, but it doesn't mean Lumia couldn't mean tablet, right?
Right.
In fact, you would expect them to use the same brand.
I would think.
Oh, yeah.
I've just been told by one of our team that we were invited to an NDA event in San Francisco by Nokia.
Ah.
I don't do NDAs.
Well, I guess it's not NDA anymore.
Well, no, I don't think the event was NDA'd.
I got you.
I hope not. Well, I didn't say who told me. Somebody told me.
You're good.
But I don't do NDA events because I can't keep my mouth shut.
Right.
So I only know stuff I'm allowed to talk about. In my opinion, that's the safest.
I think it's fair to say though that Nokia will be announcing a new phone and or a tablet.
It could just be the 928. It could be something as simple as that, right? A Verizon 928. Well,
why would they announce that in London?
In London, no.
No.
Right.
No, you're right.
No way. And by the way, the 928 is just a 920 with a different body and, you know, different speaker placements.
Aluminum.
Aluminum.
What about an aluminum? That's the code name Catwalk phone. That could be that.
Could be that.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd have to be something completely different. The new Hero phone that they plan for the second half of the year.
They call it hopefully. Catwalk? Like, I am too sexy for my phone. Too sexy for my phone. On the catwalk. Is that
Joe
what they're
Belfiore
talking about?
On the catwalk.
On the catwalk. Hellcat M in our chat room.
Girl.
Yeah. Living in a...
living in a lonely world.
Lonely world. Hellcat M says, wear your Google glasses to the Lumia event. That's a good idea.
Yeah, just in case you haven't been beaten up recently.
Wonder how it feels to be punched in the glasses.
Yeah, yeah, you're about to find out.
I'll find out.
You ever have glasses shattered on the bridge of your nose yet?
That doesn't sound good. Usually I take off my glasses before I get in fist fights. Because they call me Four Eyes. I'm going to do my little dance on the catwalk. I hope they call it. I hope that's the shipping name.
There is no way.
Come on, because it's model beautiful.
I know.
Lumia.
It's thin. It's beautiful. You can never be too thin or too shiny.
Or too Lumia.
Or too Lumia. Made out of fine Corinthian aluminum.
Corinthian polycarbonate.
Isn't it interesting how much heat, you know, all the Samsung Galaxy S4 reviews came out yesterday.
Yep.
And how much heat they're getting for making a plastic body compared to the HTC aluminum
body. You
know
what? I have never actually understood that because...
Every phone's plastic. It's so much easier.
I've had a number of plastic phones.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the back comes off.
Yes.
You can take out the battery.
Yes.
It's really thin and light. And I don't understand what the problem is. And by the way, here's a little thought.
Antennas work through plastic.
You're running up the stairs. You drop the phone.
Yeah.
It splits into three pieces.
Yeah.
You put them back together and you keep going. It's fine.
Exactly. How many times have I done that?
With an iPhone, you'd be sitting there crying on the stairs because the thing would be destroyed, you know?
It's so strange that they have to apologize.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
They always talk about, oh, it's so cheap to use plastic. It's like, no, it's pragmatic.
But interestingly, nobody says that about the Nokias because of that thick polycarbonate they're using, a.k.a. plastic.
Yeah. Well, these things are rock. God, this is like...
But they're solid.
It's not Robert Mitchum. Who's the guy that used to put the batteries on his shoulder?
Yeah. I dare you to knock him off. It was the Wild Wild West guy. I once interviewed him on radio. He actually was kind of pugnacious.
Yeah.
He was like that. He almost punched me.
Right. So if he was still around, he would put a Lumia on his shoulder.
Knock that off.
That would be an awesome ad.
Knock that off. It won't break. But you might. So among the other rumors that we should be treating with a grain of salt...
I just think these ones are interesting. Yeah, so we know that there's a new Surface keyboard coming that will have a built-in extended battery, which is something that could help
that's smart.
Bridge Surface last longer than more.
Yeah, we've seen that with other tablet convertibles. They put the battery in the an extra battery in the keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the flip side, apparently, and again, unsubstantiatedly, which is not a word, there is also potentially another Surface type cover that is thinner than today's touch cover, which I find to be pretty amazing.
I'm going to freeze. I'm going to halt you there because you're breaking up. So wonder what, is that us, do you think, or is that him?
It might be the huge ISO I'm currently downloading. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No more ISOs for you. It's cleaned up. Start over again.
Okay. So apparently, or supposedly, they're potentially releasing a type cover, which is that the actual keyboard version of the cover that is supposed to be thinner than the touch cover is today, but actually has backlit keys.
Ooh, that's a nice feature in laptops. I do like that.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, it sounds like a frou-frou thing, but then once you have it, use it on a plane or whatever.
Yep.
It's a nice thing to have. Yeah, I like my Ultrabook has that. I like that a lot.
Yep.
The other one was about the potential for a Nokia tablet, which we've talked about. And this is kind of a random one. I pulled this out of a long list of stuff. The source I have for this, this information has been, not this particular bit, but some of the other information he provided I've seen elsewhere on the internet. So I know it's out there and around. We never really talked about this, mostly because Mary Jo hates Xbox so much. But no, a couple of months ago, or sometime in the past 2 months, Microsoft silently canceled the Xbox Live Gold family membership, which was a fairly inexpensive way. I think it was up to 5 people to get gold membership. So obviously, using a family, and you have kids, you can get them on gold accounts. They can go online and play and do all the gold stuff, you know, Netflix and so forth. Silently just got rid of it. And I got a lot of questions about that, and I've heard nothing about it. But according to this source, they're going to bring this thing back, and that in the future, it will cost the same as an individual subscription. And so for the cost of 1 year of Xbox Live Gold, which I think is $59.99, you'll be able to do a family membership, supposedly. So
that would be nice.
Yeah.
I think so it's $99 for the family, right?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I have to buy.
Well, they're gone. It's gone. Right now it's gone. You can't. So.
$59 would be a lot nicer.
Yep. So we will see.
So let's see. Those are, we should say, unsubstantiated rumors. Please take them with a grain of salt. Want to take a couple?
I really hope the keyboard one is right.
Yeah, me too. I think that's, and I see no reason not to. There's a lot of convertibles right now that have battery keyboards. I have to say, I have a funny thing with the backlight on this Acer S7. Mm-hmm. I can't use the keys when it's backlit because the keys are clear and they're only contrasting.
The silvery.
Yeah, when they're not lit up. And so at night, if you're in the dark, it's fine. But they also light up sometimes in dim light. And then
it's
washes them out. Oh. No, it's a design flaw. But you can, of course, you know, you tap function U.
Asus Ultrabooks now have Dart keys, I think, because of that reason.
You need to do that. Yeah, they need to be Dart.
I know my Samsung does as well. Yeah.
It's because they're silver. You know, it's aluminum and it's silvery keys, and with a silvery key and a clear. Anyway, let's take. We haven't done it in a while, and I'd love to do it because the chat room is. They're live today. They're in there. They're participating, and so chat room. Let's ask if you have questions for Paul and Mary Jo. We'll take a few minutes before we get our picks and tips of the week to answer those questions. Lots of people in the chat room. Squirrel says Big Ginge. That's good. That's a there. Well, okay. Just got to tell you. Use the on-screen keyboard, says Web5328. Lenovo uses a red backlight on the Y series. That's actually a good idea. JC mentions that. Microsoft Monocle asks Detroit Decay. Any rumors about Monocle?
Monocle.
I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
Maybe he's joking. Maybe
it's a code name we don't
he's
know.
He's teasing. It would be a good code name for something that had one eye.
Yeah.
That would be.
Can we ask the chat room questions too?
Yeah.
Chat room, what do you think the next version of Windows is going to be called after Blue?
So Blue is 8.1, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you think the code name is going to be?
Code name for after Blue, is it another color? Is it Mr. Peanut? No. That's red, brown, Windows green, polka dot. Windows polka dot. I don't think so. Fuchsia, magenta. Pretty much Windows black and blue. Robin's egg, macaroni.
Black was good.
lots of choices. I don't know. Chartreuse might be a good one. Windows 8.
Surprised
and a half.
Nobody said mountain lion.
Mountain lion.
Yeah.
They said grumpy cat. I don't know. There's some rumor that that's
the French version will be Windows bleu.
Windows bleu. Windows bleu. Windows Sanofsky. I don't think so. I think we can pretty much be sure that's not true. So it'll be a color, though, won't it? It'll be blue.
It would be a color. I'm betting on purple. I'm just taking a random.
I like purple. I like
crazy
purple.
Bet.
Can't
that's
be red.
Bet.
That's scary.
You know why I think purple? Because you know when you were a kid and you learned the rainbow, it went blue, purple.
Oh. Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo.
Oh,
violet.
Indigo.
Oh, Windows Indigo. I like
indigo,
it.
I like it.
Kind of cool. Bring Indigo back as a code name.
Windows Indigo. Oh, wouldn't be. That's right. They used to use Indigo.
Was that WCF?
No, it wasn't it Windows 98 or something? Or?
No. It was one of the Longhorn things. Indigo
was. Yeah, it was. It was.
Communications Foundation.
Jeez, do we not remember?
Chat room.
Windows Indigo. Communications Foundation, right?
Prism.
It was one of those types of things.
Yeah.
I should let you know there's maybe a 15, 20 second lag in the chat room. So they're answering questions a little bit.
WCF was Indigo, Windows Communications Foundation.
Yep. Wow, you guys are good. You guys are very good.
And I have somebody on Twitter saying the monocle question might have been about Microsoft's equivalent to Google Glass, you know, the thing that was called Portal Visa at one point.
Right.
Monocle, that's great.
I know.
Let's do one eye. Yeah, that won't screw you up. You can look like Marty Feldman on your left side of your body.
Was it Yelp had a monocle mode? I think they still do in the iOS app where it becomes a augmented reality browser and you can see all the Yelp. And they call that monocle mode. So maybe.
Yeah, I wonder, Paul, have you heard any new rumors on Fortaleza? That was supposed to be Microsoft's like equivalent, like the glasses that you would use with new Xbox 3D glasses.
No, I've not heard anything about that since that initial big, you know, leak.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we should point out occurred before there was any talk about Google Glasses, but.
Oh, really? See, because usually, like with Surface, Microsoft waits until somebody else announces something and say, well, we got that in the labs.
Oh, no, they were waiting. No, they've never announced anything. This was some unscheduled leak that occurred.
Oh, I remember that. It was a report or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a giant deck of slides.
Yeah. Paul or Mary Jo says, Sarnia Surfer, I assume Windows 8.1 will be free, or have you heard otherwise?
I've heard rumors going both ways on this. I've heard it free to existing users, possibly. I've heard only the RT version would be free. But Microsoft, they haven't said anything, obviously, since they're barely even talking about Blue yet.
Right.
I'm betting nominal fee. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but that would be my guess on this.
I think free updates.
Do you?
I'm worried that you're right. I think they would be crazy not to give this away for free.
Sometimes companies
need to treat it like
the
XP, SP2. It's got to be free.
Sometimes companies do a nominal fee because for accounting reasons. But if there aren't accounting reasons to charge for it, I would give it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really important to get people to adopt the platform. What about REFS? Any update on that from Trex? REFS.
Oh, that's a good question. Rafael Rivera just wrote a post about PowerShell updates in Windows Blue, and we just have not seen we've never seen anything server-wise, right, for Blue yet. So,
not yet.
Maybe May, June, before server.
Kirk A. asks, is Microsoft HUP for real? $9.95. What is HUP?
Yep. Home use program. Yep, that is real.
$9.95?
Yep, that's real.
Wow.
But your company has to subscribe, I believe, to Software Assurance, and then your administrator has to pay something to Microsoft so that you can get the copy of Office for that cheap a price.
Right.
But it does exist. It's
a real
good program.
That's a good deal.
It is.
Just to be clear, what you're talking about. You're talking about a license to use Office at home in addition to work.
For $10, not a month.
No, permanently, $10.
Good.
Yep.
Will K says, why won't they let Windows 7 be included in that?
In what?
In the HUP program.
They don't want people going to Windows 7 unless they're on the path now.
Right.
They want you to go to Windows 8 now.
Right. It's all part of the coercive structure.
I do understand why questions like that come up, and I'm not belittling this, but I would just remind people, you know, they're never going to do something like that for an old version when they have a new version. I mean, it's just not, no company would.
Don't you get downgrade rights too? So, I mean, if you did.
The companies.
For companies. Right. Windows 8. Downgrade to Windows 7 if you want.
Sure. You're getting Windows. I mean, the assumption is that it comes with Windows 8, but I mean, you have downgrade rights to whatever versions are available.
Will Outlook.com support IMAP, CalDAV, CardDAV at any point?
It's never. No.
Never.
No.
Never.
So a couple things on IMAP is never going to happen. That's ridiculous. CalDAV is actually going away, if I'm not mistaken.
Google's killing it.
So Microsoft has kind of put their flag in the ground for EAS. I think that makes sense. They've done a reasonable job of getting, their app going on Android. I think on iOS, their stuff just all works, right? Through the native apps. Obviously, in the Microsoft stuff, it always works. I mean, it's not... I actually don't think the Outlook.com thing is a big deal. I think the issue's on the other side. You're using Windows or some Windows platform, and you're trying to access Gmail services or Yahoo. I mean, no one really talks about this, but, you know, a Windows phone, you can connect a Yahoo email only. You cannot connect a Yahoo contacts or calendar. It's been like that for 3 years. It's never changed. So these kind of cross-platform things can be a problem, but I don't actually feel like they're a problem going from Microsoft services out into the world. I think it's in the other direction where it's a big problem.
Schnitzel asks an interesting question.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say.
For him.
No, I forgot the question now. Oh, man. Oh, what did you ask, Schnitzel? It was a good question. I'm going back through it. Will you ever anticipate a Facebook Home for Windows Phone 8? Or he actually says Windows 8, but I'm wondering, maybe he went Windows Phone 8. That's the interesting launcher that Facebook announced for Android. Well, could you do that? You could do that. It's what's funny is it looks a lot like Windows Phone with big pictures.
Not like they have it on Android.
Yeah.
There is a way to access the lock screen. You're starting to see a lot of apps to do this. In fact, I'm recommending a couple of them in a few minutes. But it's not an interactive thing. It's you're impacting the lock screen background image. It's not an interactive lock screen where you can, you know, play with your Facebook stuff. There's no reason that a Facebook Home app couldn't become available for any mobile platform, and probably will. But I think for that deep integration, I mean, I think because of the openness of Android, it allows Facebook to create something that is essentially a Facebook phone, and that you really can't do that on Windows or iOS.
Right.
Because those systems are proprietary.
Right. All right. Well, any news on the 7-point update for Illumium 900 users on AT&T? Asks somebody named Rob Greenlee.
I don't understand how Rob hasn't been blocked from the comment section of our show. But no, I check on that one pretty regularly. I've got a Focus. I guess it's just a Focus, actually, the original Focus. And a 900 and on AT&T. And
yeah, that's still my original Focus, too.
I think it actually makes a cricket chirping sound every time I plug them into Zoom, though. I don't know. Someone asked me this on Twitter, I think, or maybe via email the other day. It is true that the 7.8 update for Windows, you know, the legacy devices, was halted temporarily, right? Because there was a problem, something to do with the tiles, I think. And then they reissued it. And you have to think with the way that AT&T handles updates that it's never going to happen. I mean, or it's going to happen when it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, they're just so terrible.
I don't think that the trophy on Verizon ever got it either. I'm not totally sure on that, but I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
All right, thank you all in the chat room. Great questions. Well, for the most part. And
except for that Rob guy,
that Rob Greenlee guy, who we love. Rob is a great advocate for us at Microsoft. He's responsible for podcasts on the Xbox Marketplace, and a great guy.
If that is his real name.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I think, you know, we were talking at Podcast Expo, the New Media Expo, in January about who was the first podcaster, and the consensus was it was Rob Greenlee,
right?
So there.
Take that. Adam, whoever. What was that?
Mr. Curry. Mr. Pod Father. Rob Greenlee's the Pod Godfather. So there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, picks, tips, lots of more information, code name, and even a beer of the week. Because Mary Jo is awesome that way. Our show today brought to you by, and he's in the chat room right now, Mr. Derwiz himself, the Directory Wizards, and their amazing program. It's a gal, right, Mary Jo?
It is a gal.
What?
Global address list.
Thank you. Global address list. This is a problem everybody knows about, but at home you have this issue where you have multiple addresses and multiple address books. In a business, it is really a problem, a nightmare. You've got Active Directory, Open LDAP. You've got Oracle Novell. Maybe you've got a Lotus Notes or Domino database. You've got GroupWise. Many databases, many formats, and combining them all is tough. Well, you can create a unified, truly unified GAL, a messaging forest, link seamlessly with HR databases, build a backup forest to aid in disaster recovery, all with Unity Sync from Directory Wizards. Synchronization solutions offering countless customization options for whatever your need. And the nice thing is you can get this now, try it for free, an extended valuation, and it'll be done. You'll be running it today. And some very big companies are using Unity Sync. If you, it's on the website. If you look at the companies that are using it, you will be quite impressed. Some of the biggest companies in the world, the U.S. military, the Pentagon, Directory Wizards makes it, and you can try it at DIRWIZ, DIRWIZ.com/windows. Put it into action today. What's nice is you could try it without modifying in any way your databases and see what it would do and then get a real sense of how incredibly it works. I mean, you can have literally hundreds of thousands of objects. No retraining or installation or configuration time. Your fully functional evaluation copy can be up and running right now. What I like about this, no per-user costs, no limits. The pricing is per installation, period, and number of directories being synchronized. You get upgrades and live technical support for a full year in your purchase, and it's renewable. Of course, they have yearly maintenance contracts. Easy to use, web-based interface, no scripting, no programming, no additional database required. It's entirely self-contained. Unity Sync, try it now. Absolutely free. Your extended evaluation awaits at DIRWIZ.com/windows. In fact, let me type that in and see if it's got a picture of me. I always like to do that. There it is. Welcome, Windows Weekly viewers. Love it. And we thank them so much for their support. They're in the chat room right now if you have questions. The DIRWIZ folks are they're talking about old directory systems like, get this, Spindrift. this guy's a directory nerd. Okay, can I just say that? I hope you don't. It was a Wang IBM 360 directory system.
Wang, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is somebody that you want doing this. Somebody who is a it's a gal nerd.
Yeah.
Great guy too. Really fun. He came out here the other day and we had a good time. Let us get to your picks of the week. I don't have an Audible pick for you, but I think it could still be a pick since we know Audible's a great sponsor and we love them, Paul.
Well, it's a tip. If you haven't joined Audible yet and you are using Windows Phone 8, there is an offer now where if you join through the Windows Phone 8 app, you'll get a free book. You don't have your choice of all of the books on Audible, unfortunately, but you do have three pretty good picks to choose from. Jackie Collins' book called Power Trip, the Navy SEAL autobiography, American Sniper, or F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby.
Well, they can tell something about you by the one you pick, can't they? That's three very different
little
books.
A little bit, yeah.
Jackie Collins.
Like, do you tend toward the History Channel or Lifetime?
I'd pick American Sniper.
I would too.
Yeah, I love those Navy SEAL autobiographies. They're great. And The Great Gatsby, though, this is a new rendition by Jake Gyllenhaal. It's supposed to be very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got to have Windows Phone 8, and you have to be a new customer.
Yeah. So
and get the Audible app.
Me out, unfortunately, but mm-hmm. Thought I'd throw it out there. The other one is, I was looking over the software pick for the week, and what I sort of discovered was that there were several software picks from this week. I don't know what's been going on in April, but all of a sudden it seems like there were a bunch of new and updated Windows Phone and Windows Phone 8 specifically, in some cases, apps and games that have just come out, and many of which are very high quality. And I have a list of some of them here. But the most recent version of Modern Combat, which is sort of like the Call of Duty type game that's been out on iOS for a while, is available now on Windows Phone. It's really expensive, but it's an amazing game, especially if you have a Lumia 920 with a big screen. Modern Combat 4:0 Hour is it's just an amazing kind of cinematic experience. It's a really neat thing, assuming, of course, I'm like 40, whatever years old. What am I? 46. We're old. 46. So I playing shooter games on a touchscreen to me is borderline impossible. But if you're young enough and can handle it, that's a good one. And then there are also in the game department, Cut the Rope Experiments, which is also not free, unfortunately, $2.99. And a cool game for kids called Ice Age Village. I always want to say Village, the French version, for Windows Phone 8, which is a free kids game. And then some app updates and new releases. New Tumblr for Windows Phone 8 is brand new. That just came out this week. And then updated versions of LinkedIn and OpenTable, both of which add support for Windows 8, Windows Phone 8 live tiles, meaning all the tile sizes and the live notifications and everything. And also that lock screen support we were talking about earlier, where you could assign the lock screen to derive images from one of those apps instead of from a photo or like a Facebook app or something like that. And looking through the list, I think that's it. So that's what six or seven apps and games right there. And wow, they all came out last week. Pretty cool.
By the way, Spindrift sent us a picture of the top secret Microsoft Monocle team working very, very hard right now on the latest edition.
That's exactly what my home server setup looks like in the summer.
This, I think, over here on the right, this big thing, I think that's a hard drive right there.
Yeah.
Look at that, Winchester.
I was just going to say, it's a Winchester hard drive. That thing could take a bullet and keep on going.
Yeah. And you want to make sure that spins down fully before you pull it out, or you will be across the room.
From the centrifuge effect.
Exactly.
Yep. It's like those or what do you call it when you're spinning in a...
centrifuge or...
Yeah. And your skin's rippling.
Yeah. What do they call those? Human centrifuge.
Yeah.
How are we going to get this to people? Do you have an article on the website, or do you want?
No, I just put this in the show notes. I mean, when I post the show tomorrow, I'll have a link to all these things. But you can find them all on your phone directly, right, by going through the store app, or you can go to windowsphone.com and search for any of these things.
Somebody said Cut the Rope Experiments now is 99 cents. It's even less.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
Great game. Mary Jo has an enterprise pick of the week.
Yes. My enterprise pick of the week is the result of a series of articles I did this week where I got to actually, believe it or not, talk to some Microsoft executives. Mm. They're really starting to change a little bit in terms of talking
did
to the
press. Did
they
know who you were?
They did. They kind of remembered me from like 6 years ago. They said, oh, yeah, we talked to you.
Did we ban you from the campus 6 years ago?
Right.
But I get to talk to one of the main guys on Office 365 this week, Jeff Teeper, who's the head of Office Servers and Services. And he told me something very interesting about Office 365. So right now we know they're in the midst of doing this rollout where they're bringing the most current versions of Exchange, Link, and SharePoint to people who already are customers. Sadly, they don't know when they're going to get them. They just know sometime this year you're going to be upgraded. But Teeper told me Microsoft's going to do another update that we didn't know about around June or July of this year to Office 365. And it's not going to be a whole new release. It's going to be an update, but it's going to have some he was hinting around a little bit, connections to Azure, connections to Dynamics, which is their CRM product, and connections to Windows Intune, which is their PC management service and device management service. So around June or July, there's going to be some kind of an announcement for Office 365. And this is part of their more regular upgrade schedule. So instead of making people wait like once a year, you get a big dump of all these new things. You're going to be able to every quarter or every month in some cases get new features rolled out to you on the service. So this is pretty good news. If you're somebody who's on the cloud and you really want to be up to date with the latest features and all these products, you're going to get your wish. Starting this summer.
Woo-hoo.
Yay.
And for those of us who love coffee, your code name pick of the week is apropos.
It is. Code name pick of the week is something called Kona, K-O-N-A. And what it is from the Microsoft Patterns and Practices team. So they're the team at Microsoft who does a lot of guidance, prescriptive guidance. And they put their guidance up on CodePlex. So if you search for Kona, I think you'll still be able to find this. It now has a very boring name. It's called Prism for Windows Runtime, codename Kona. And it's guidance for people who are trying to build Windows Store business apps. So if you're somebody who is an enterprise user and you're like, hey, you know what? I'd like to actually deliver my enterprise app through the Windows Store to my users by sideloading it. There's now some helpful guidance, hopefully helpful guidance, about this that's free and downloadable on CodePlex. So try looking for Kona or try looking for Prism for Windows Runtime, and I think you'll find it.
Excellent. And we couldn't really do this show without a beer pick of the week. I know I'm drunk. So
drunk with power, baby.
What do you got for us?
We need to have a drinking episode of Windows Weekly.
No.
Kidding.
No. I got to push the buttons.
Just kidding.
Push the buttons.
Just kidding. Okay. Beer pick of the week is something I got to try this week from McKellar. I probably am not pronouncing this correctly. It's a Dutch word, McKellar. They're a really well-known craft brewery. And they're doing this new series called the Yeast Series 2.0. So it's not just tech that does 2.0. It's beer, too. And what's really cool about this is they're taking the same beer recipe and all they're changing is the yeast in it. Huh. And so they're doing like a saison and a lager and they're showing how just by changing the yeast, but with the same rest of the recipe, you can have a totally different beer.
How interesting. Have you tasted
these? It's really
cool.
Yeah, I got to taste some of them over the weekend and they're really so different. It's so crazy how different they are just by changing the yeast.
They say in their blog, by the way, it's a Danish company. They say in their blog that when you produce a series, each time you change the recipe just a tiny bit, that's how you can tell what makes a difference in a beer. And just changing the yeast.
I know, right? A lot of people just change the hops and show you how different beers
that
are.
That makes sense. I kind of understand that. But the yeast, really?
Wow. I know. Really crazy. Yeah.
Wow, I'll have to try this.
Yeah, Danish company, not Dutch.
Yeah. It's MIKKELLER.DK. And I don't know if you can get it shipped to the U.S., but they do have an online store.
Yeah, it's in stores in New York in bottles and some taps here, too. So I bet it's other places as well.
Those Danes. I like Danish beer.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Mary Jo Foley likes beer and windows. What? Now, is that not a great person? She's everything you're looking for in a woman and more, boys. Mary Jo Foley at allaboutmicrosoft.com. No, I'm sorry. That's rude. At allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's the blog where you can read all about Microsoft, amazingly enough. Paul Thurrott, he's everything you want and more, gals. He's at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. And between the two of them, there is nothing they don't know about Windows. That's why we love doing Windows Weekly.
Like the Lennon and McCartney of...
It really is. Which one podcast. Of you is bitter and sour? Which one of you is preternaturally
happy? Well, clearly I'm the bitter and sour one.
Yeah, and Mary Jo's bopping along. Life is very short, and there's no time.
Yeah, that was the end of the line. Right there.
Hey, thank you both. We do Windows Weekly on Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. And if I add 8, I think that comes out to 1900 UTC on twit.tv. Please watch live if you can. In fact, you could be part of our amazing new segment, The Chat Room Gets Distracted. But you got to be here live. If not, though, we do have on-demand audio and video available after the fact.
We do like live chat once every, 37 episodes?
We'll do it more. We were really snappy today, and so we have plenty of time to do it. It just depends how much news there is, I guess.
Yeah.
Or how much Leo gasses on. But either way, or maybe gets here on time would be another factor. Either way, we do like it if you watch live, but if you can't, twit.tv/WW or wherever finer podcasts are aggregated, thanks to Rob Greenlee. That includes, what do you call it now, Paul? The Xbox Store? Xbox Music? Zune Music?
What are you talking about?
Where do you get the
Xbox Music Store?
Xbox Music podcast. Store podcast section.
Isn't it?
Yeah, there. Well, it's available through Zune on the PC and through...
That's the problem. See, I use the Zune software still, so it's very confusing to me.
It's confusing to everybody.
Yeah, anywhere you can get podcasts, that's where we are.
Yep.
Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.